As a child, I remember buying bread at the grocery. I remember it came as whole loaves, either white or brown. That's all I remember about bread until at some point a third option became available, sliced. The arrival of a slicing machine in the grocery meant that in our house, bread now came pre-sliced in a plastic wrapper. The significance of pre-sliced bread has found its way into the language, a common saying in both New Zealand and the UK. To describe something wonderful is to say, it's the best thing since sliced bread. Maybe it's a saying used by Americans as well. Being a Denzian of all three cultures, it's increasingly difficult for me to keep straight in which of the three cultures a certain aphorism originates. I remember bread as the staple of my childhood, for bread was not the specialty item to be savored and delighted over as those of us living in Providence find at Seven Stars Bakery. Bread was bread, white or brown, sliced or not, used as toast or to make a sandwich or a bread pudding, a great favorite of visits to my maternal grandmother. I also remember a time when eating bread had little downside. The purity of the grain and the metabolism of youth allowed me to consume bread without regard to the quantity or consequence. This is, alas, no longer the case. The processed nature of much wheat used in making bread is making bread toxic, and I now strictly monitor my wheat intake. The slowing of my body's metabolism also means that bread is now a source of unwanted carbs. And unwanted carbs are the enemy of my aging male waistline. Bread is the staple food in all cultures, where wheat is the staple grain. In wheat-growing societies, dependence on bread as the staple food has led such societies to view bread as a symbol of divine generosity, an embodiment of God's care and concern for human beings. Our own collective religious memory contains countless instances and references to bread as a sign of God's presence, God's communication with and involvement in human affairs. For several weeks, the Gospel readings have been following Jesus' bread teachings in chapter 6 of John's Gospel. Jesus, following his feeding of the 5,000, expands on his theology of bread. The crowds flocking in increased numbers to hear him, but Jesus suspects, awed not simply by the signs and wonders he performs, but by the promise of a full stomach. We recall that hunger was the commonplace experience for the masses of displaced peasantry that flocked to hear Jesus. First century Palestine was undergoing a revolution in agricultural production, with land being increasingly vested in powerful landowners who, like the big agribusinesses of our own time, were intent on monopolizing resources. Independent peasant farmers were being squeezed out, reduced to itinerant day laborers. This is a story as old as time, and one alarmingly familiar to us as we view with a sense of increasing alarm the monopolistic trajectory of economic developments in our own day. The crowds don't like it when Jesus pushes them to move beyond their limited expectations. In this morning's passage, they're beginning to grumble, and worse. In presenting himself as the bread of life, the bread come down from heaven, Jesus evokes a collective memory of the manna that fed their ancestors in the wastes of Sinai. But his use of bread as a metaphor for spiritual food, God's living bread, falls on deaf ears. I suppose if he had read his Maslow, he would have realized that it is a tall order telling people about spiritual nourishment when their bellies need filling. Bread is one of the central metaphors of the Christian faith. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. Extending bread is a metaphor for all of life's basic needs. Daily bread encompasses not only something to eat, but also somewhere to live, something meaningful to do, and someone to love and be loved by. While we long for the bread from heaven that feeds our spiritual hunger, we also must work to provide bread to feed the hungry. Yet our expectations are so limited, like those who first came to hear Jesus. Dom Helder Camara, the liberation theologian and bishop of the Brazilian Diocese of Recife from 1964 to 1985, is famously reported to have said, "When I give the poor bread, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor have no bread, they call me a communist." For most of us, feeding the hungry is consigned to the category of personal charitable action, giving a little handout here, writing a check to this charity there. How many of us are also deeply committed to the kind of political questioning that recognizes poverty as a product of our political and economic systems? Even fewer of us recognize that to ensure enough bread for the hungry, I'm using bread here as a metaphor for addressing multiple poverties. What will it cost us in terms of the resources we currently claim for ourselves? After all, as we're continually told, tax cuts pay for themselves, but investment in infrastructure only adds to the national debt. In the Eucharist, Jesus gives himself as the bread from heaven that feeds the life of the world. Not a heavenly world, but a real world in time and space. And each Sunday in my introduction, I remind us that the Eucharist is both local, that is, here and now, as well as cosmic, beyond time and space. The celebration of the Eucharist bears certain characteristics which the great Episcopal lay theologian William Stringfellow identified. As a transcendent event, he wrote, the Eucharist collects all that has already happened in this world from the beginning of time and prophesizes all that is to come until the end of time. But the Eucharist is also a contemporary event involving these particular persons gathered in this specific place and in this peculiar way. As the central aspect of Christian worship, at the Eucharist, real bread, the staple of life, becomes the bread from heaven that feeds our spiritual hunger. And as spiritual bread, it feeds and sustains us, who, like Jesus' hearers, are everyday challenged to move beyond our convenient and limited expectations to transform the bread of heaven into the staple of life. In the Eucharist, celebrating the bread from heaven given for the life of the world, is also in the same moment making our ethical commitment to the life of the world. The spiritual bread of the Eucharist is also the physical bread of food and shelter, made available in the everyday world through our actions of service and truth witnessing. Like the crowds that came to hear Jesus, what are our expectations as members of a community whose central action in the world is the celebration of the Eucharist? The bread from heaven, which satisfies our spiritual hunger in the celebration of the Eucharist, is our community meal. Is our community a place where we can not only expect to eat the bread of heaven, but also ensure that all can eat the bread of life? Our mission is to pray, worship, and proclaim the gospel in order to promote justice and peace. This is what Stringfellow means by the Eucharist as a political event. He writes, the very example of salvation, it is the festival of life that foretells the fulfillment and maturity of all of life, for all of time, and in this time. The Eucharist is social action because it is the characteristic style of life for human beings in this world. Amen.